Right. So we are starting the work session for the September 26th town board meeting. And what we'll do is, first thing I think we should talk about is the schedule to go over the 2017 budget, which is going to be presented by me through the clerk next Monday, on October 3rd. Or is it next Monday? Yeah, next Monday. We're going to have back-to-back meetings.
What are you doing next Monday?
We're going to present the initial budget October 3rd.
We haven't even talked about it.
Well, that'll be your first look at the budget, October 3rd. That gives me the remainder of this week to sit down with the department heads and review their budgets. And I don't know what's gone on in the past. I don't know how other supervisors have done it. But
typically, that meeting is a standalone. Here's the budget. The board discusses it. The dates for when the budget work sessions are going to be held are released.
We're a little ahead of it on the dates. I think, which is good. We can always change them, but I've already sat down with Dave Rowley and gone over a schedule, and maybe we can flesh that out during this work session so that at least the meetings are worked out. But going back to what I was saying before, so this is the process. The department heads have submitted budgets to Dave Rowley, and he's populated basically a template of the budget. I'm going to sit down with the department heads and go through those budgets and kind of make sure that we're on the same page as far as wants and needs go for that particular. I want to understand their budget thoroughly. And then those numbers that get through that process are going to be on the initial budget that you see. Now, the department heads are perfectly free to make the case for any disagreements that I may have had with them. If there's been any cuts, that's their prerogative. But I view this budget, even though the clerk presents the budget, it's a budget from the supervisor's office, and everyone's going to have it. We're going to work through the process. We're going to go through it line by line, just like you have in the past. Now, the good news is that I think by the time we get to that point, compared to some other budgets that I've worked with, there may be some questions and sticking points on certain things, but hopefully we narrow it down to maybe 10 or 15 key elements of the budget that we're focused on. I don't know what we're going to run into. I don't want to forecast it, but it doesn't seem like this is, it's pretty straightforward. You've got the clerk's office, you got highway, you got court. And we're not expecting
I agree that it's pretty perfunctory for the most part, but it's nice to go through it page by page and just be able to turn the page. Oh, yeah, got that one. Yeah, got that one. And then when we come to one that we need to talk about, whether it's highways, parks and rec, or whatever, we talk about it.
Yep.
But, last year, the first meeting was September 28th that the budget was announced. And then we met that Thursday, and then we met for probably 5 or 6 more times in the first 3 weeks in October, first 4 weeks in October. The first week was a Thursday and Friday. And, we met several nights a week until the budget was done.
Yeah,
I really like that. I want to do it. Because we're going to vote when? On the budget.
We've got to vote by the second Thursday.
Budget must be adopted by the 21st of November. It's the next Thursday after, what is it, Election Day? No. When's? Yeah. So we.
What's that date again?
November 21st.
But it would be nice to have it nailed down by the end of October, just done.
Oh, yeah. So let me throw some dates at you. Check out your calendars. So the budget will be presented to the board by the clerk October 3rd. Then I wanted to give you a week to absorb it, read through it. It's a fair amount of numbers. So then I was thinking we would meet again for just a work session Tuesday, October 11th. Then I thought that we would work that into a work session prior to the next board meeting, October 17th. And then I had a last work session scheduled for October 26th. Which is a Wednesday.
Well, I don't think you got enough days.
Okay, well, I mean, all right. So, but I thought you'd say that, so let me finish out the schedule. That we have to have to the newspaper the date for the public hearing, which is going to be November 10th. So the print date has to be 5 days before that. So that date needs to be printed by Thursday, November 3rd. So that's why I came up with a Wednesday, October 26th date, which gives us Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday prior to the print date. So we can add dates. So let's continue on, and then we'll go back and infill if you want. The public hearing again is going to be Thursday, November 10th. I scheduled another work session after that for possible changes to the preliminary budget after that for Tuesday, November 15th. And then the budget needs to be adopted by Monday, November 21st. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4 work sessions before it's adopted. So other dates that I put down, if you guys want to throw more at this up front. I had Wednesday, October 12th.
That works for me.
Thursday, October 13th. Wednesday, October 19th. Or Thursday, October 20th.
They all work for me.
Yeah. The 13th is the only one that'll be an issue for me, but the other ones all work.
Okay, so
all right.
Well, we'll do two that week, the 11th and the 12th. And would you have the 17th and the
19th?
17th, 19th, and 20th even. Okay. And then I had one on the 26th.
Well, I think we should schedule them, is my opinion, and then we could always decide not to do them.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
We always say that. But, so is everybody saying then the 11th, the 12th, the 17th, and 19th, and the 20th?
26th.
And the 26th.
And the 26th.
26th.
Yes.
Right. So the 11th, yep. The 12th, the 17th.
13th is out.
Yep.
13th is out. 17th, what else on that week?
19th.
19th. 3rd. 4th. So the 19th will be the 4th meeting. The 5th will be on the 26th. And we'll still have another meeting scheduled on the 15th of November if we need to tweak it again.
And, you know, nothing says we have to do it the same way, but if my recollection, Roman, remind me if you remember, the two department heads that should be in the room when we discuss their budget would be Parks and Rec and Highways. And just because they're asking for things, and that's to say, that's not to say other department heads shouldn't be there. If Al's going to have other projects, capital projects, I'd like to hear from him. But
yeah, I mean, we can.
I agree. I would think that every single department head should be in the meeting.
Well, unless it's just boilerplate. I mean, like who? I'm
trying to think of a boilerplate.
Town clerk. I mean, what are they going to do? That what is she going to do? That's
maybe
unless
she has
she's
some,
doing something remarkably.
Maybe
different.
If she has a new software. So I'm just throwing it out there.
Well, she does the cemetery stuff too. Well, that comes through her budget as well.
Oh, it does?
Yeah.
But she can't really talk about the cemetery.
No, but from a, that may be a reason to include her because things change. And she's
right. Well, I guess we can decide that after we get the budget on October 3rd.
Right.
We can just look through it and just you everybody should make notes on who they might want to hear from on beginning, and they would not all be on the same night, obviously, but on October 11th.
And I think it might be a nice idea for us to put a schedule down even before we get the budget on which nights we're going to look at what. It might make it flow a little bit easier. That's something we didn't do last year.
So do you guys want to start with Highway?
Yeah. Yes. It's the biggest portion of the budget.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. Because I think once we get through Highway.
We got to do them all.
Yeah. I mean, because I've looked at most of the budgets are, I mean, there's very, yeah. So
then we're counting on looking at
and
Highway
I think
on the 11th.
The more time we give Gene
to go back and
to go back.
Start when you have a full lawn.
Yeah.
There's one way of looking at it.
Gene, that would mean we'd have to have a full wallet to start with. All right, so we're good with that schedule?
Yep. Do we want to go over now while we have the dates and just put a plan on what meetings we want to look at?
You want to pick what departments, what nights?
Yeah, we could.
So the 11th and 12th Highway?
11th and 12th Highway. So here's the thing.
Followed by Parks.
With Highway, you guys were talking about what key personnel. You know, I think we definitely need Al there because Al's worked pretty close with Highway operations over the last couple of years.
Absolutely.
Obviously, Gene. Who else do you think, Gene, would you like there? Okay.
Well, Dave Raleigh would be.
Dave, yeah.
Oh, Dave's got to be at all of them.
Yeah.
Yep. So we'll make that the same. Those were those 2 days. Not meeting on the 13th. On the 17th, we should pick times as well. What times do you guys want to meet? We'll try to keep it consistent.
5:30.
Public's obviously invited.
I get out of work at 5. Can we move that to 6? I'm driving from Syracuse, so.
You can make it.
I don't want to be late.
Well, by the time we get started, I mean, I hear you, but why? It's a 20-minute ride.
When do you get out of work?
About 5 o'clock.
So when did you want it? 6 or 5:30?
6 works for me. I can rush for 5:30, so.
Can we do 5:45?
Yeah, make it 5:45.
That's fine. That'll give me enough time.
5:45. Just make sure you pick up your shirts before the meeting.
Okay.
Don't do what I'm doing here. So 5:45.
For all of them.
Yeah. We'll be consistent. We'll be as consistent as possible for the public.
Can we meet in the conference room?
Yeah.
For this, because it's easier to spread out papers and stuff. And
okay.
The public is still invited, but.
And then if we somehow finish early, we can whack some of these dates.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. So the first two will be Highway. The third should, I'm thinking parks.
Think one day for parks? Or
I don't think you need a whole night for parks, but not that my
parks and then, well, let's see, parks.
I don't know, I got the pleasure of going after parks last year. I remember that being a solid hour.
Was it?
Half, pushing two by the time we were done with parks.
Well, we're looking at 2-hour meetings, aren't we?
Well, so maybe keep one parks for a standalone night.
If you want to do parks on the 19th?
Are we doing it 17th?
Yeah.
17th.
Okay, we'll do that on 17th. And then the 19th, let's see, go down through. We'll have Dina come in.
Do you want to sit and do a schedule?
Yeah.
Next couple of days?
Yeah, let's do that. Let's that way we're not on the fly. Then I can talk with the department head and see what works for them.
Yeah, I guess you know my thought would be on October 11th, we can put highways, we can do the first part of highways, but before we even get to highways, it would be nice to open that book and just leaf through it page by page, you know, with David Raleigh there, just to make sure that we know are there any issues or any things we need to talk about, and then get into the meat of it department by department. But just try to flip through each page, you know, quickly, rather than go target a department right away and then go back. Because I really do want to go through the budget page by page.
We're going to have it in our possession a week
right
ahead of time. We're going to get on a third, right?
Yep.
So I know I'm going to go through it within that week, but you're talking about together after we
together
go through
it. I mean, if you don't have questions on it, that's great.
I'm guessing I'm going to have questions on it. Yeah, I'm sure I'm going to.
Yeah, well, so what I would do is just go through it that week, highlight.
Can we do that in an hour or no?
Probably.
Well, just highlight anything you want by department. And then as we get to each department, it's already, you know, we'll already know what our concerns are.
The setting an hour so
Bob,
aside.
To Bob's point, right. You know, if we meet at 5:45, let's spend the first hour thumbing through it, talking amongst ourselves, and have Gene and Al come in at 6:45.
Well, they could be there the whole time.
Well, they might be there to answer some of those questions
right.
that we might have.
All right, well, it'll play out.
Okay.
Great.
All right. So that's the
sketch. And I guess, you know, when you do this, I'm sorry, this presentation on October 3rd, I don't know where we're at, you know, monetarily. Are you going to provide, like, well, here's where we're at?
Yeah. I mean, that we need to know where we're at. That's the foundation
right.
that we're going to build next year's house on.
Okay, good. Excellent.
Yep. And then the next thing I wanted to cover is the Village of Baldwinsville has extended two agreements in our water districts. They did this on September 15th, 2016. Now it's our turn to extend these. We're working on a lease agreement with the village that I very confident will be completed by the end of the year. So I'm recommending that we follow suit and extend these two water districts, which is the Emmerich Heights Water District and the River Mist Water District to the end of the year, December 31st.
And Joe, what did you say? What was this amendment all about? Because I didn't read it.
Yeah, because the agreement's expired.
It's just no, this amendment, the one that was done.
Oh, the amendment is so. Is that River Mist 2?
No, when Mr. Jones came online, it was an amendment to the River Mist district.
Right.
To add
to that district.
Emmerich Heights, is that Irene Drive?
Yes.
You want me to mention the thing I talked to you about as far as the grant?
Yes.
Part of our lease agreement would be that they would take over the five districts. In terms of keeping track of the money for each district and all that, we thought it would be better if we could consolidate the districts. Under the new law, town law, that came out a couple of years ago when Cuomo wanted everybody to consolidate villages and towns and all that, they also provided for the consolidation of districts. The It's a little bit different than it used to be. Now you can consolidate districts even though they're not next to each other.
Before that, we were limited.
Hamstrung, right.
Kevin, I saw you chuckling back there because I know you mentioned this in the past about consolidating districts.
Well, there were 4 years.
But there were some obstacles to that.
The law has changed now, Kevin, which makes it easier to do now than it was before. The bottom line is I found my way into the Department of State. There's some grant money available to do this. So with your approval, blessing, I want to see if we can go after a grant and get some money. Ultimately, if we do that, the board's going to need to adopt a resolution supporting the grant. But in the meantime, I just gave y'all a copy of the information that we needed. It's a little bit complicated in terms of the information we need to provide with each district and how much the assets are and what the liabilities are. But we can put all that together. And the grants come out once a month. They're the first Wednesday of every month. And you can get up to $50,000 on a consolidation. You know, it's a reimbursement thing. But whatever we spend in legal fees or engineering fees, we get back. And it's worth going after.
Yeah, I don't know those engineering fees because they say salary. You can't, one of the things we just read in here.
Oh, is it can't do the salary
thing? Can't do the salary thing.
Well, whatever it is that we can.
At least get reimbursement for Tony's time spent on it. And there is a 10% match, so my time can go towards that.
Yeah. Whatever we can get for it, it's found money, basically.
Okay. So. Yeah, I mean, it goes in line with what we're trying to accomplish. It's a logical step after the lease agreement is signed to then try to consolidate the districts. It makes billing easier, and it just makes future decisions easier when we're talking about a single district rather than.
And it may be something to look at with regard to our sewer districts and lighting districts, and we can consolidate a lot of them. You got to worry about whether there's debt service in each one, but it makes the administration, I think David Raleigh would agree, it makes the administration of those things a lot easier. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to keep track of, you know, separate ones, do it all at once.
And we can get 50 grand per effort.
Yeah. What they told me was the bigger the consolidation, the more money there is. So, you know, obviously the legislation initially was intended to villages and towns to consolidate, but that's not happening. So they have a pot of money over there that they're being told. Get it out there. So we'll take advantage of it if we can.
Yeah. I'd love to go back to the governor and say that we consolidated 10 districts. Those, in his mind, those are 10 governments.
Sure.
Maybe he'll even come out and visit us. All right. So that's basically with a water agreement that just extends the relationship that we've had for basically decades. Did you notice the signatures?
Yeah, Tom Doris.
Tom Doris, when he was mayor in Milt Bilyeu.
It was a while ago.
So this is, I'm going to now move on to something that has to do with next year's budget. It's a concept that I want to run by you guys. I mentioned it today in a staff meeting. As we reported last meeting, the town had workplace violence and sexual harassment training last week, and they brought up some points about the safety of our personnel, how they should go about reporting certain threats. They also talked about workplace etiquette, the language that's appropriate, what's not appropriate. They focused in that area. It's not about your intent on your comment, it's the impact that it has on not only the person that you're talking to, but also other people in the room. But from a public safety perspective, I thought that I would take a look at this building now that I've been here for 9 months or so, and I've seen our personnel move through it, and I've seen our constituents move through it, and I just thought we'd come up with some workplace safety recommendations and see if we can get those funded for next year through the buildings part of our budget. I mean, that's one of the most important things that I think as a board we need to consider is the safety of our personnel. And we have a very, we have a beautiful building. It's a big building. It's a modern building. It's pretty, it's pretty much centrally located. It's, you know, it's more than any government could ask for, except in the fact that it's pretty much wide open, which is good and bad. It's good in the fact that we're very approachable as a town government to our constituents. It's somewhat of a concern in that there's just no control of the flow of individuals in this building anywhere, really. You walk in and you could go left all the way down to Parks. You can go down and talk to Tim down here. Court's wide open. There's very few windows where there's somewhat of a barrier between our employees and the constituents. Now, I don't want this to come across as alarmist, but given given what's been in the news as far as violence, you know, I think the least we can do is take a look at some recommendations to separate our employees from possible threats in the future. Our employees have mentioned that on a couple occasions, you know, people get passionate, they get loud, their taxes go up, they get frustrated. And unfortunately, the person that they have to deal with, who may have had nothing to do with that decision, is confronted with that. So what I'm asking you to consider, originally, I was going to have this door. Going to have this door fobbed so that the entire back portion of the building was controlled access. This door is fobbed. This is the clerk's office. This is the front door. And there is a window here. So the clerks are fine. In mentioning that to Tony was concerned that anytime anybody wanted to register for a parks program, they'd have to get buzzed through this door. Tony does have a window down here, so he does have that control mechanism in place. So there's no need for that here.
Can I have someone look?
Yep. This is Tony. This is basically Parks from here down. So we're actually pretty good here. For the assessor's office, there's one access into that office, and that's through this door. And it's wide open. So actually the people that work in here don't even know who's there until they're actually in their workspace. And, you know, let's face it, that is a source of friction on occasion for our taxpayers when they interface with our assessor's office. So I've heard. So I'm asking that we consider putting a window in here where they can serve our constituents, still having the ability to buzz them in, to look at a map or whatever they might need as far as a closer look at documentation. But at least they have control over it. If someone's screaming at them through a window, maybe they think twice about buzzing them through.
How often does that happen, Joe?
Well, I know it happened. I witnessed it once this year.
Someone was screaming at...
Well, I wouldn't say screaming. They were agitated. And I've heard in years past that it's gotten intense. Nothing that I'm proposing here. This is all about safety for our employees. It's not designed to keep the public away from, or keep them from interacting with our employees. But I just think.
Well, that looks like it provides better.
Better access, better actually. Access. And here's the other thing that happens, and you'll find this. You know, so I have a monitor in my office that has a camera here, so I can see the people come in and where they go. And it's amazing how many people stand in the middle of the atrium and just look around confused. They don't know where to go. All the signs are up high. It's not, it, you know, there used to be a receptionist desk here before the town converted it over. And that would be nice to have a receptionist out here, but it's not in the budget, and it kind of defeats the purpose of trying to secure an employee by having them right out in the middle of the atrium. So by seeing a window here for the assessor's office, that'll help that visibility. So that's a window here and really nothing back here. That's already, I believe, a key fob. If it's not a fob, we'd recommend that that be a fob entrance. The kitchen would be wide open. The public restrooms would remain public and open. The back portion of this building, my office, Dave Raleigh's office, the conference room, and what I'm going to propose to be Al's new office, where Dan Picardo is, would have a window in it. And this desk, which has traditionally been the supervisor's assistant, would be moved up here, and this would be a window here, and this person would wear many hats. Maybe we process taxes here, we do payroll back here, but that's an interface for the public here. If someone has an appointment to meet with Dave, myself, or Al, there'll be a door here, buzz people through, and they can walk in. As it is right now, you walk in, there's been many people just this week or last week that walked through Dan's office. Dave wasn't here later in the week. They're just walking around. So that we thought that would make sense. And as I mentioned before, Al's in this section here in this office. I interact with Al on a daily basis, whether it's on grant opportunities or infrastructure issues or whatever. So having him in Dan's spot would make it easier to communicate with him. It's also a bigger space for him. He's got large printers that he would move out of here, and Colin or his assistant would also have, we'd also have space for him here. So that room, since this is court, would be converted to basically a DA's office for court night. So if you got to meet with a DA, you'd have a private space to do that here. And then this would be a conference room. And Dan Picardo, we'd move over here. There's already a window there, so dog control is in this section now. Now that we're in this area, court. Court clerks are up here. I'm proposing moving the court clerks back here, judges' chambers here, putting a court window here, which would be right there where that map is. So you'd go through the court proceedings. If there's any fines that are due, you would then, instead of flashing cash and going through transactions, I don't know where, I've never been to court in your town. Right here, they would be behind glass. It's more secure. We don't have a bailiff. I think that's prudent. I think it makes a lot of sense. That way the judge's chambers are connected to the court clerks. They have a window over here. This is the courtroom. We would move codes up front. And Karen, and what we might even put an opening here so that you'd have free access all along. So this would be codes, planning, zoning, and Karen. None of it, you know, we've even ballparked this, Al?
Not really. I mean, most, Joe had mentioned potentially a bulletproof glass for the court clerk's window, and we'd have to do some numbers, figure out what that would cost, and some kind of slide drawer for them. That would be probably the most expensive part of it.
And there's grants available for a lot of the work done associated with courts.
Courts, yeah. Ballpark, there's just not that much drywall, not that many doors. $30,000 on a very high end. Where I think we'd come in
at
a very high end.
Yep. So that's something, you know, I'm going to budget for. We'll go through it. Hopefully we'll have more detail for you by the time we go through it budget time. But I think it's a reasonable improvement to the building without major infrastructure changes. We're trying to work with what we've got, you know, to fob that door, which prevents when court's in session. Like, I walked out one night, I was working here late, and sheriffs were holding two detainees in our conference room because it just, the door wasn't locked, and they needed someplace to hold these guys, and they were in the conference room. So we fobbed that door, and that was, I think, what, $700?
Yeah.
So each fob that we talk about is $700. We have the security system already in place to work with it. It's just doing the install and creating a lock that secures. So that's it. Dwell on that. There might be some fine-tuning in this area. Right here, there's an open room. We might just have that as a consult room instead of having people come into the offices. You know, if someone wanted to consult with Tim or Karen, they could go to this space right now, and that lends itself to that. There's already a conference table in here, so we're not talking about the addition of furniture. It's, like I say, it's pretty modest, I think, as far as going that extra mile for the employees' safety.
Finally, I just have one additional concern, and that is when you mentioned here, people coming in from this area here.
Mm-hmm.
I only see one mean of egress for any of these people in these offices. They have to come out of their office to get out of, and they're not connected. So you said Tony's here?
Tony's here.
Okay, so for instance, Tony.
They are connected.
Yeah, these are connected.
Oh, okay, because I don't see doors there. Okay.
Yeah, all these are.
All right, connected. Then.
There.
In the back.
Okay. Because at least that gives him a secondary meet. They can get out. Anyone in here.
And which one of these has the window?
No, it's
the middle one?
No, it's the first one.
Right here.
Yeah.
So this is old.
Yeah, this was, you can see there's been some modifications to this. This is the original proposed construction. So this was changed. This is all one open office.
Okay. That makes me feel a little better.
I think that this is reconfigured a little bit over here too, and the size of the offices.
So you got Tim,
Ron Patchett,
Karen.
Files there. So this is Files. This is Karen.
Karen Files, Judge's quarters.
That's all court clerk.
And then court clerks. So I'll be sitting.
And taxes are over here now?
Yep.
Well,
that would move
up here, actually.
Yeah, currently it's right here. We were talking about putting Dan in here.
The judge is like coming from behind and accessing the bench from this side, or from behind either side.
And then as part of this, this door would remain open during the day so that if the public came in to pay a fine, they could walk right to the window. And that's what confuses people most of the time, is the people that get confused is there people that come in for court night and they come through this door and they pay their fine right here. So that everybody comes in, parks on that side of the parking lot, tries to come in that door and can't get in, just because that's the door that they previously accessed the building during, when they were here for court night.
Now the town of Van Buren has separate entrances as well. So the court's separate, and they also have a security window for transactions. Any questions? All right. So that's going to be included in the budget number, I believe, and I'll make sure when Dave Rowley gets here on the initial budget that you'll be looking at. We had 90,000 scheduled last year for buildings and grounds, and I would propose having that included in that number. What would be in that number?
Okay, not addition.
You know, just preliminarily, and yeah, I don't know if you want to think about phasing this, but as I recall, and I don't, I just want to make sure we get to some of the other things we promised ourselves we would get to tonight before 7 o'clock. So I don't know if I want to continue this conversation tonight.
Well, that's all I had, so whatever.
Well, as I recall, Al brought in well over six figures worth of capital projects or physical plant projects that this town has not been doing for the last several years, and we keep saying, oh yeah, we'll get to them. So this, you probably still have that laundry list, I would imagine.
Yeah, we banged out quite a bit of it.
Most of it's.
Well, good. Then we'll put it all together. We'll hear about it. That's great.
Yeah. Cool. All right, guys. Thanks for that. That was kind of an impromptu presentation. All right, let's jump to your list.
There were two things. Well, one of them, and they're both related to incentive zoning, but one of them was we were going to figure out how we were going to get to the Emmerich Road area and walk it. I don't know if any progress has been made in the last 2 weeks, but
yeah, let me talk to Al when he gets back.
We were going to talk about, I wanted to talk about why Okra rejected the Collington Point incentive zoning proposal. I know it sounded like a boilerplate rejection, it's pretty much word for word. But what are we going to do about all these rejections and where are we going with incentive zoning? And then completely unrelated to that, I wanted to talk about the trooper barracks in terms of where are we going with that building.
All right, so Al's kind of in it. So we're talking, Al, have we made any phone calls or approached?
No, we talked last week, we were going to send a letter on your letterhead formally asking permission. Did not get around to it last week before I was out for a few days, so it's like, I'll move to my...
Well, if you just get me the addresses,
okay.
I'll bang it out, okay. And we'll have that out by tomorrow.
Okay.
And hopefully we'll have by the end of this week some responses.
Okay.
Yeah.
All we want to do is walk the property. That's all we want to do, right?
Okay. Yeah. Right. Now, is there a chance that some of these people don't even know their land's in incentive zone?
They were all sent letters when the zoning map was adopted, so they should all be aware of it. Now, whether they realize what that is a whole other topic.
Okay.
I wonder if in this letter, you know, not to, you know, I'm wondering what you're going to put in it, and I don't want to write it for you, but not to alleviate some mystery about it, you know, you have to introduce the fact that this area has been declared part of an incentive zoning overlay, but we are reconsidering whether that was, you know, what that decision.
So here's the thing, you know, this was an initiative that you came up with. Why don't you craft it and throw it to me, and then I'll tweak it if need be.
Right.
But I think you're the perfect person to give the background on that and to detail why we're actually doing it.
Great. Get it to
tomorrow. No, and it'll go out tomorrow.
And then we got to fit a date in between all of our budgetary meetings, a date to walk the land, right?
Well, you're going to walk during the day. I mean, that's the, you know.
Well, I was going to say, you might want to do it after the leaves are down.
Yeah, you might see it. You might see it better.
Or a Saturday or a Sunday, because you guys work. I mean,
yeah.
So my worry about all this is we have declared it an inconsequential moratorium. There's no such thing as what we did a couple of months ago. And if we want to do a real moratorium, we have to do a public hearing. But maybe what I think the whole purpose here is, let's fish or cut bait on this area.
No, I agree. And I did get a lot out of walking the proposed project property at Collington Point. I mean, it's one thing to look at it from Google Earth. It's another to feel the contours, look at the property and see it firsthand, listen to the traffic, you know, approach the property, look left and right up 370. I mean, it's a good idea. And so
sure.
Give me that letter and it'll go out. Al, if you can get me those.
Yeah.
Addresses.
She's going to do the overlay district and generate all the addresses with one command.
Okay.
Okay, great.
And we'll report on that. We'll keep that on the work session agenda,
and report on that.
Let's do that in the month of October.
In the month of October.
Well, it's going to get cold. And
yeah, wait till the leaves are down. I mean, that's going to happen pretty quick, I'm going to guess, with the temperatures dropping and the fact that there's been no rain. I mean, right?
Yeah, and I guess what I'm thinking is, Al, I don't want to be too presumptuous, but maybe you should go out there before we go out there and just kind of scout the area in terms of, we're not going to spend 4 hours walking this property. We're going to park, we're going to drive to a certain spot, maybe look at it, get back in the car, and then park, go to another spot, get out of the car, and walk. I mean,
what do you want to see?
I guess I want folk, us five, to see the area, what it looks like. And this is, you know, this area, do we want it to be 20,000 square foot houses or even smaller? Square foot lots or smaller? Is that what we want here?
I guess, I mean, I can do that, but what are the parameters that you want to... What are the, I mean, you want to look at wetlands, obviously, I'm assuming you would want to look at wetlands, you would want to look at topography and forest lands.
Yeah.
Is there anything additional above and beyond that you're looking for there?
No, just to get a feel for what the property looks like.
Yeah, so I guess to narrow down a little bit, let's look at the parcels that are most advantageous to higher density development. I mean, I don't want to go traipsing through a swamp if... There's no.
They can't build, well, I mean,
they can't build there
that's
anyway.
That's the thing. The way the, and I'll print this off and email you a PDF. The way the wetlands run through those overlay areas really limits how much development can really occur on that north side of Whispering Oaks.
Yeah. So let's just look at the largest tracts of land where the highest probability
where potential for high potential for actual development.
Yep. I would think the land up Emmerich, as I drive up Emmerich and look to the west.
Yep, there's a couple there's parcels there, and then there's a wetland, a finger wetland that goes up that kind of cuts off the piece directly north of Whispering Oaks, and the same thing on the west side of Whispering Oaks. There's another large wetland. So there's one area that's kind of dry in the middle there, but there's no real way of accessing it. And then the other piece is just the farm fields from the end of Penfold, the stub street there off of Ashington, back over to Dunham.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just essentially all brush lot, weed lot, new growth forest, I guess you could call it now, and then some active agricultural fields.
Great.
Okay. What was the other?
The other one was, what do we, we got another negative, whatever you want to call it, from County Plan. This one about Collington Point. So I'm just wondering where we're going with all this, and what is our position? And you wrote a letter the same day back to them, Joe. I'm kind of confused.
No, I responded to their... Was it that day?
Because we got this meeting date, August 31st, 2016, where they said, we don't like what you did. And then you wrote Doug Morris a letter on August 31st, 2016, thanking them for their input. This is Whispering Oaks.
Whispering,
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm confused.
Okay. I haven't responded to them yet.
You haven't responded to this one.
Okay. I'd like to. I've got some personal opinions on that.
All right. So I guess that's what we ought to talk about it as a group. Where are we going with this?
All right. So this is, I'm one of five. I still think we need to absorb their comments. And, to echo what you said, Bob, it did seem like a cookie cutter response, which is insulting to me personally because of how much work went into actually negotiating the public benefits that are associated with that project. And it seems like they've gone back on the same concerns that we, I thought we addressed in that meeting with them over at WEP. They ideally, you know, they'd like to see an intermunicipal cooperative agreement on the capacity of the facility. I just think, you know, that's a monumental request. There is capacity there. And when we reorganized and when we went through this process, you know, there's a reason why we brought together zoning board, planning board, and the town board to go over this process, so that everybody was aware of what was going to be considered, how it was going to be considered, and then when we put forth the proposal, that it was a strong proposal. So my first inclination, it's not my official position, my first inclination is to defend the position. Because ultimately, the county has very openly taken a position of not wanting to see, in their eyes, sprawl in the suburbs. And I think that they're trying to control that through allocation of resources in their sewage treatment plants. And we've done our research, and we've shown that there is capacity, and that ultimately this board has the prerogative of trying to figure out what's best for the town of Lysander. And the improvements that we negotiated for this project are greatly going to enhance the safety of Patchett Road. I think went a long way in Bob's goals of preserving land, putting in the path. The dollar amount per parcel to put towards the sewering projects in the town of Lysander, which ultimately I think helps the county. And that what's somewhat frustrating is that they don't see that. So I'm not taking an official position on it. I've read through it. There's a lot of information in it. I think we all should take the time to consider what their concerns are. But I think ultimately, it comes down to incentive zoning and the club. A lot of time and effort went into that document, and what we negotiated with the developer and the proposed project, I think, falls in line with the club. If it had deviated from that and we didn't have an opportunity to defend against their concerns, it'd be a different situation. So that's my position. We're the ones that submitted it to county. So for us to, you know, there's nothing mentioned in there that there's an aha or a wow, I can't believe we didn't consider that. You know, everything that they come up with was talked about and I think thought out before we submitted to county.
So I guess what is our official next step have to be? What do we need to do? Do we just ignore this? Do we respond to this? What do we do next?
It's just a recommendation. You have to, if it's a negative recommendation, your approval has to be a majority plus one. Mm-hmm. But you don't have to respond to it. You don't have to do anything with it. That's the recommendation.
Yeah, I mean.
And when were we thinking about bringing this to a board vote?
Well, like I say, I mean, I thought that I'd give the board ample opportunity to read through it, raise questions if you had any questions on what was proposed and what was rejected, and dig down, peel back a couple layers of the oven and figure out why we proposed what we proposed. If you think you need more time, take it. We're in no hurry. I know the developer would appreciate some attention to it.
The developer still owes us future documentation for the planning board meeting on the 13th. So until we get that documentation, I don't even know if the planning board is going to be in a position to finish the seeker review that you requested at the last meeting.
Right. 13th. So
that's scheduled for October 13th. Assuming we get the information. application Al was talking about. So the earliest you could consider, assuming you get a recommendation for a negative declaration from us, would be board meeting after that.
Yeah, so we've got some time.
And that you wouldn't, you could, even then you couldn't pass a vote on it. You could schedule a public hearing at that time for the first meeting in November, and then have that public hearing, and then, you know, after
the public hearing, we would
forward it on to the planning board for the planning process.
You're a month or more away from the public hearing right now.
Yeah.
I mean, so I was just, I mean, those are my thoughts. I mean, is there anybody else?
Well, I don't want to be beholden, what's the word I'm looking for, subservient to Onondaga County in everything and anything we do. But it worries me that the Onondaga County Planning Board is so strident and strong, and it's expressing these negative concerns. And they're going to do it for every single one of these.
Mm-hmm. I think that you hit the nail on the head right there, Bob. I think no matter what we say to them, if we do give them a response at this point in time, I don't think it makes a difference. The next submission is going to have the same, it will be the same result.
And,
same,
you know,
result. It's all about sewers.
And I mean, the graph that they showed us showed that their loading has been decreased by 50%, according to their reported numbers in the past, since 2010. So I don't see what they're raising these red flags, but their data doesn't support the flags that they're throwing up there.
Can I offer a suggestion? Maybe you need to sit down with WEP and have them come to a meeting instead of just you and them, so the whole board's here.
Mm-hmm.
Go over this whole sewer capacity, and, you know, geez, we thought we made two good suggestions here, and come back both times with our tail between our legs wondering what went wrong when county planning seemed like they thought CLUP was a great idea, but you're trying to follow CLUP and you're not getting it.
Yeah, we had that meeting. We brought in planning board members, Bob Gerasi and I, Al. We met with WEP, and it was a great discussion. The feedback that I got afterwards was, Joe, you made some great points. The last thing I would have expected would be to see basically a repeat of their position that they took on
Cabbage
Patch.
Well, Bob,
not Melvin.
No, their initial, they made the exact same points on the initial review of Melvin Farm and last.
Yeah. So that's what's frustrating. It's not like, I mean, to be given that message that, oh, you made some good points, some valid points, and then to receive that.
Right, but now you've got that again. Maybe now you go back to WEP and go, hey, where's the disconnect between you and county planning?
Yeah, I think Kevin is right.
We were on the right road.
But it's
obviously we weren't.
Not,
but it's not WEP that's causing this right up.
This isn't
WEP.
No,
I get that. But county planning somewhere along the lines is feeling that sewer capacity, and it, to me, county planning has no decision in sewer capacity. It's not their department. I understand why county planning is leaning that way. They're looking to keep more sewer capacity for industrial purposes.
Yeah, I think so this is my view of it from 30,000 feet. The county doesn't see growth in population. It sees movement in population.
Right.
The reality is people are going to live where they want to live. Baldwinsville is an attractive place to come for many different reasons. I think it's the center of the universe. We got great people. We have fun events. We've got great schools. It's a beautiful community. We got 31 miles of waterfront on the Seneca River. We got the second busiest lock. There's great nightlife. There's a lot going on in Beeville. And so people are going to move.
But the beauty of, in understanding that, the beauty of the club and incentive zoning is, okay, we're going to have migrations of people within the county. That's just, unless we turn in the Soviet Union and we say, no, you're going to live here now, and we need some people over here, we need these farms farmed, I'm not going to go there. This is a way to corral growth, smart growth, sustainable growth, where your infrastructures is, not only is your new infrastructure going to be paid for 20 years down the road, but we're also going to generate revenues to deal with sins of the past. Not that we knew that they were sins then, but now we pretty much know that R40 doesn't pay for the infrastructure in an R40 development. But if we can generate revenues to get some dry sewers connected, you know, to deal with issues that we know we have along the river as far as sewering certain areas, that's great. And that's where I'm so surprised that, I mean, I'm a smart growth guy. I sat on the 10-year county planning committee, represented villages. The club mirrors those goals and objectives. So then when we have opportunities, even as small as 30,